way back in the book of Judges chapter 2 verse 2. But along with that, there's another question that God had asked in Genesis. He asked two questions. I think the first question that God ever asked was, where are you? Where art thou? That be part two of the lesson. Where art thou? He asked that of Adam in the book of Genesis. And he followed up with a question when he found out why Adam was hiding. He asked Adam, what is this that you have done? What is this that you have done? In the book of Judges, God asked a question. Why? Why have you done this to his people? Why have you done this? You know, even in our secular relationships, Todd, we ask ourselves that, we ask people questions all the time. Why you did this? Because, you know, sometimes you have a colleague, and why have you done this? Is usually a question, not all the time, but usually a question that have a negative context surrounding it, some kind of negative connotations, not all the time. Because you could ask somebody a question, say, why have you done this for me? Before me softens it, you know. Because you are so surprised that they have done, why have you done this for me? There's a more sort of loving, affectionate context. But usually, when you ask, why have you done this? Is usually a kind of disappointment that you have. That context of disappointment. You are disappointed in the person. Why have you done this? This question is asked a lot. At workplaces. In the classroom. Asked by parents in the household of your children. It's a question that is asked all over the world. In different languages. In different contexts. And it's usually spelled disappointment. Am I correct? With the person you're asking the question of. And usually when you ask a question, you don't want the person really to give you a reason why they have done this. It's usually a rhetorical question. Why have you done this? Because you're disappointed in the person. You know, sometimes you expect good of someone. You don't, you expect the person to behave in a certain way. Am I correct? With decorum or with manners toward you. And all of a sudden, they are misbehaving. They are doing something out of character. And you say, why have you done this? You know? So it's a question, not always, but usually in a negative setting. Let us go to the Bible where this question was asked. In Judges chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, it says, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I have made you, this is God talking now through the angel, I have made you to go up out of Egypt. So he's talking to the Israelites. And he's telling them all of what he has done for them. I have made you go up out of Egypt, and I've brought you unto the land which I swear unto your who? Fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you know, on your part, you shall make no league with who? With the inhabitants of this land. You shall make no league, no close relationship with them any at all, with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. Because these are idol worshippers, you know. And God don't want this to be a part of his thing. Throw down their altars. He goes on to say, but you have not, what? Obeyed my voice. Everybody read that in their Bible, what he says. But you have not, what? You have not obeyed my voice. Then the question comes now. Everybody read that question for me. Say it again, please. Why have you done this? He laid out for them, Michael, everything that he has done for them. And we're going to see some in the Leviticus. We soon go to those verses very soon. He told them clear-cut instructions of what he requires of them. Am I right, sir? Yes. He told them to tear down the altars. He told them not to have any league with the inhabitants of the nation. But they have decided not to obey his voice. You have not obeyed my voice. Then he says, no, why have you done this? Because once you stick with me, all will be well. They know that once they are with God, you know, they have his protection. Am I correct? They get the promised land. They win all the victories. So there is no reason then. I can't find the rational reason why they would have done this. But don't we behave like that sometimes? Once you are in the church, you know, you have all the blessings of God. Am I correct? You have the relationship with God and with Christ. Am I correct? We have all the spiritual blessings. Yet, we sometimes leave the church. We do things that are very ungodly. So God is still asking this question. Why have you done this? Even to us. So we have to make the application even to us. We can't say, we have a tendency, you know, we read these Israelites, the God's relationship with the Israelites. What, the people stubborn, man? How are them so stubborn? God did this for them and they still do. And God helped them again. And they cry to him again. And him helped them again. And they go back into sin. And they cry again. And him helped them again. Oh, they're so stupid. Oh, they're so stubborn. Don't we do the same thing sometimes? The same thing. We do the same thing as his people. Then he says, no, why have you done this? No. There are going to be consequences, you know. Consequence we don't follow God's law. Because he says in verse 3, wherefore, because you have not done your part, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you. You see what they would have had the easy, brother Michel? And because they have, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people did what now? Lift up their voice and wept. You see, they did the same thing again, brother. Just what I'm doing. When God does say, okay, this one, they now start to bawl. Not crying, you know, they wept. Do you see that? Yes. So we do the same thing all the time. The same, and that's why the Bible says in Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. The Bible speaks about that. And we also know in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not what? In himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And that is why we turn to the scriptures to find out how we must live our what? Our lives. That is why the Church of Christ will always preach against denominationalism, denomination, the doctrine of false doctrine. We will always preach against it, because it is not the will of God that there be denominations. It is religious evil. And God speaks against it. Now, let us look at God's relationship with this Israelite nation that led to this question, why have you done this? Turn to Leviticus chapter 18 for me, please. And we're going to read it very steadily and very slow. Leviticus chapter 18 from verse 1 to verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Everyone find it first, please. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 1 to 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see the Lord speaking now, you know. He says, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. And they know that when he made that statement, he's saying that he's holy. God is holy, he's unique. There is no other person in the universe like God. So, and I am having this relationship with you. So I am the Lord, your God. So I have this relationship with you, but you have to listen to what I am saying to you. Then he says to them in verse 3, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you what? Dwelt, shall ye not do. Church, is this clear cut? Is this a clear cut instruction, church? Just nod your head or say amen. Yes. It's a clear cut instruction. They were coming from a land where the habits, that they would have formed certain habits, am I correct? And he's saying to them, the land that you came from, he's giving them the history lesson, but I'm saying, the things that they did in that land, you are not permitted to do it. I am the Lord your God. This is holiness, you know. I am the Lord your God. I am holy. I am the holy, almighty God. And I have this covenant relationship with you. You are not required to do any and anything that other people do. What is the application for us? Christ has brought us from the bondage of sin into freedom. But this freedom that we have with God is not to do our own thing. Am I right, Brother Mitchell? God has brought us into this relationship with him, not for us to do our own thing. We can't do what other people do. We can't do what people in the secular world do. We can't do what people in the denominations do. We can't do it like them. Because we have a covenant relationship with him, and we recognize him as a holy God. Whatever he says, we have to abide by it. That is what the Church of Christ does. That's the basic difference between the Church of Christ and denominations. What if we realize that? The basic difference, because we realize that we can't just do anything that we want to do. We are not permitted to do, just like the children of Israel, they could not just do anything that they wanted to do. And he told them that. He says, I am the Lord, your what? God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, you're coming from that land. I know you're coming from that land, but you are not to do those things. Then he follows it up. If they don't understand, God will make them understand. He says, no, neither shall he walk in their what? Ordinance. Is that in your Bible? Please read it for me, everybody. What did he say? Everybody sees it. Everybody sees your Bible. Yes. Neither shall he walk in their ordinances. He tells them what they need to do then. So you see the application for a church? We can't do what the world does, you know. We can't even do what denominations do. Although they claim that they're worshiping God, we can't follow them. We still have to stick with what God's word says. So he says, no, you know, my people, you shall do my what? My judgment. And what else did he say they must do? Read that part for me, Jonathan, that little phrase right there. After he said, you shall do my judgments. And do what? No, Jonathan, man, come on, man. And what?
And keep mine ordinances.
Stop. And what?
And keep mine ordinances.
And what?
And keep mine ordinances.
Do you see that? Keep. Stop. My ordinances. The word keep, you must maintain it. There's no way. Did he say change my ordinances, by the way? Did he say adjust my ordinances, by the way? No. He says that we must what?
Keep
my ordinances. You are the keep. That is why, you know, further down now when him asks the question, you know, you can see why he asks them the question. Because the instructions he gave them was clear cut. Keep my ordinances. To what?
To walk therein.
To walk in it.
So you keep my ordinances and you walk in it. You don't stray from it. You just walk in it. Am I correct, church?
Yes.
You walk in it. All those are what they're in. Why you must walk there in church? Read, Jonathan.
I am the Lord your God.
You see how he repeats it? You see how he repeats it? And we are now taking God now just for granted like that. The same God we're dealing with, you know. The same holy God. But I'm telling you, we have some lessons to share, but I'm sure, about the questions that God asks. I don't know whether I can finish that series because I'm working on it still. The question that he asks of us. And he says to them, I am the Lord your God. He is a holy God. There's no one else like him. And because he's the Lord your God, he requires of us. We should be glad to give him what he wants. He's deserving of it. Deserving of it. I am the Lord your God. And he says no. Verse 5. Ye shall therefore, because I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore what?
Keep.
See the word keep again? Not to adjust it in any way. Not to say that this part is important and that part is not important. Not to say that this is my interpretation and it's your interpretation. Not to put phrases in that way. But just to what? Keep it. To find out the will first. And then what? Abide and keep it. There was no commandment given to these people, you know, to change anything. Yeah. To improve. So to so-called improve anything. They were just to keep it. And then he tells them why. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my what?
Judgments.
Which if a man do. Which if a man what?
Do.
He shall live in them. Do you think, what do you think he ended that statement with? Read, Jonathan.
I am the Lord.
Do you see it again, church? He ends it again, I am the Lord. I have the right to tell you all these things. I am deserving of anything. I am the holy God. I am the Lord. Let us look quickly. Turn your Bibles there for me, please. To the same chapter of Leviticus, but look at verse 24 to verse 28. I'm going to ask you, Jonathan, to read that one for me very deliberately. Don't read it too fast now and not too slow, but just deliberately. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 24 to 28. Please begin.
Defile not ye yourselves in any...
Start again, please. Sorry about that, Jonathan. Yeah, go again.
Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things.
Stop. He's telling the children of Israel, no, don't defile yourself. No, do you think that if they maintain and keep his statue, they would defile themselves? They would not defile themselves. So, whenever you don't keep his commandments, you are what then? Defiling yourself. So, it's in your best interest to find his will and keep it. As simple as that. Because you're going to defile themselves. Continue, please, Jonathan.
For in all these nations are defiled, which I cast out before you.
Stop, Jonathan. The nations now who did not keep within God's holy nature and his law, God says he cast them out of the land because they defiled themselves with sin. He cast them out of the land. Continue for me.
And the land is defiled.
Yes.
Therefore, I do visit the iniquity there upon it.
Yes.
and the land itself vomiteth out of her inhabitants.
No, you read that wrong. Start again that little part.
And the land is defiled.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it.
Mm-hmm.
And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants.
Correct this time. Yes. The land, you know, God used a strong word here, you know. When you vomit something, church, it just don't sit well with you. Am I correct? And you just can't keep, it's just like a spasm. You just eat something and it disagrees with you, it's not going to stay down there. It's going to come out. Am I correct? And God says, when you defile yourself, the land itself can just vomit you out. Am I correct? So it was a very strong word, Brother Mitchell. It vomited out. Look at verse 24. Quickly. You can read it a little faster now. Yes.
Defile not ye yourselves
mm-hmm.
in any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
For in all these things, all these nations are defiled, which I cast out before you.
Mm-hmm.
And the land is defiled.
Defined, yes.
Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it.
Mm-hmm.
And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants.
Yes.
Ye shall therefore keep my statutes.
Here's again. You shall therefore what?
Keep.
If people could just learn this in the denominational world, we are required not to change anything, but just to keep it. Continue.
And my judgments.
Mm-hmm.
And shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation,
mm-hmm.
nor any stranger
mm-hmm.
that sojourneth among you.
Mm-hmm.
For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you.
Yes.
And the land is defiled.
Yes.
That the land spew not you out also, when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you.
Stop right here a second. I want everybody to look at this passage. Look at verse 28 again. That the land what? Spew not you out also. So if you slip, although you are my chosen people and smiling, I am not partial, you know. I am the partial God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy God. So if you slip, you guys get what? Spew out also. That is the application for us in the church, that we must also keep on the narrow road. We are not allowed as a church either to experiment. Not because we say we are the church of Christ, no. It gives us any license now to change things in the Bible. We are not allowed to do that either. Or he will also what? Spew us out. His church is guaranteed, you know. The body of Christ is guaranteed, but not the congregation. So if this congregation of the Church of Christ start to play the fool, we will also be spewed out. And that's what he was telling them here. So you can see that he was quite clear cut in the instructions. Do you see that, Brother Bean? Quite clear cut, you know, in the instruction he gave them. Let's look quickly at Judges now. Chapter 1 and verse 28. Listen to this passage now. And it says, and it came to pass when Israel was strong. Who make Israel strong, church? Who you think?
God.
It's not Israel make themselves strong, you know. It's God make Israel strong. Church, who make us strong? God. God make us strong as well. So, he made Israel strong. Read that little part now for me, Jonathan, after the word strong.
That they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out.
Did he tell them to do that part? Did he tell them, sure, to do that?
No.
No, put the Canaanites to tribute. I don't have all the facts on that, Brother Mitchell. You could probably enlighten me here. But I get the impression that they were now required to pay some sort of taxes. Am I right? Brother Mitchell, go like this. You can go ahead then. Thank you, Brother Mitchell. I just wanted an affirmation. I wasn't sure, quite sure. So let me ask you. I don't like I ask you, you from here. I don't want to make no mistake. Yes. So they put them to tax. They may have reasoned out. Human beings do this, you know. All the time we do it. We try to rationalize what God is saying to us. That's the trouble with denomination. That's the trouble that they have. They rationalize too much sometimes. All the time, actually. So they might say, no. You know, God said to throw them and dry them out. But we have a better deal. We have a better deal. No, man, we can't just tell them. These people are rich. These people are not so bad. They have money. They have wealth. Perhaps we could even get some of their wives. Get some of their ladies to be our wives. Because these people have wealth. Instead of driving them out, I think it'd be a better idea to just get tributes from them, and that will enrich our nation and make us even stronger. Now, who made you strong in the first place, sir? God. God made you strong. God, now why you're stronger by disobeying Him? You get the point? Because they are saying that God be stronger than, you know, Xavier, by getting the tributes. God don't want you to be stronger by getting any tributes. He wants you to obey. He wants you to obey His word. Now, so that is where now the question came from. Because instead of utterly driving them out, they were taking tributes from them and rationalizing it. We hear talk all the time in the denominational world. No, man, to get the young people in the church, we have to have the excitement and the music. We need to change the order of worship. It is too boring. We need to bring a little reggae beat to it, a little reggae music, to get the young people involved. We need to change up things, man. We need to have praise and worship team and make it entertainment, make people feel good. That will pull the people to the church. We hear all of those rationalizations. All of that we hear all the time. Just like they said, no, man, don't utterly drive them out. And they know, you know, because God will tell them utterly. So when God says utterly, it means utterly. You know, me keep, you know, me to say, make them stay there and take tribute. Utterly means utterly. I don't know how they saw out of utterly take tribute. The words are so different. Are completely different. If you say utterly drive out, it's a different phrase from take tributes. How them jump from there, sir? But it's the same thing in the denominational world. How you jump from he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. How you jump from that to baptism is not essential to salvation. How you jump from baptism save us now, 1 Peter. So, baptism does not save. How you jump to that? How you jump from that statement? It's the same thing, you know. God says, utterly drive them out. And then you replace that with take tributes from them. Who are you get take tributes from them from? Where that come from? Where that statement come from? It did not come from God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism is just an outward sign of an inward grace. Where you get that from? Baptism does also what? Now save us. Not the putting away of the what? Filth of the flesh. But the answer for what? Good conscience toward God. And we hear the statement, baptism does not save. Where you get that from? So human beings never change. That's why the Bible says, whatever was written what? Aforetime was written for our learning. Take heed. Take heed. So listen to him now. After all of what he tell them, you know, then Judges 2 now. 1 to 4. And an angel, listen carefully and read along with me. And an angel of the Lord came up from where? Gilgal, to Bochim, and said, God is now going to tell him everything that he has done for them. I have made you, I am the one who made you go up out of what? Egypt. And I've brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And I went on to say, and you shall make no what? League with the inhabitants of this land. I'm going to ask you a question. When they are taking tribute from these Canaanite people and not utterly driving them out of the land, are they disobeying God here? Because he said to them distinctly, no, you are not to make any league with the nations around you. Because when God said this, no, they can't see all of the things that God sees. No, can't remember that God sees and knows everything. And God knows that they can be influenced by the evil of the nation. So he's telling them, utterly, I don't want you to be mixed up with this nation at all. Utterly drive them out. But they didn't do that. They take taxes from them. And did not utterly drive them out. So they did not obey God here at all. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall what? Read that little part for me, Jonathan. You shall what?
Ye shall throw down their altars.
Read again.
Ye shall throw down their altars.
Again.
Ye shall throw down their altars.
Take action against them. We don't want no diplomacy here. Diplomacy, by your comments this morning, you know. Sometimes diplomacy doesn't work, you know. And trying to say the thing the nice way, you know, people don't get it sometimes. You just have to be clear cut. You know, you might preach against the somebody come to crusade and you preach and preach and preach and preach. Sometimes you just have to be clear cut. Just have to call a spade a spade. Because somehow, I don't know why, but they're not getting it in here at all. When you're trying to do the diplomatic thing. God says in that time, throw down the altar. Destroy it. God is saying to us today, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. We must rebuke and exhort. He tells us, he used strong words that we must do. Am I correct, church? We can't approach it the diplomatic way. Because when we approach diplomatic way, these denominations now will believe, okay, we're all one. Everything is fine. Everything is okay. They must know that it is not okay. When they didn't throw them, when they didn't take them out of the land, you know, and utterly drive them out, these people felt like it was fine. Because they didn't tear down the altars. So these people felt, okay, all is fine, I'm okay. We should never give people from the denomination the idea that it is okay. Never! We have to be clear cut, straight talk, plainly. Talk plainly. Talk plainly. Because God says here, read it again for me, Jonathan.
Ye shall throw down their altars.
You shall what?
Throw
down their altars. Then he says now,
but ye have not obeyed my voice.
Stop. They may argue, you know, but we did obey, you know, God. We did capture them. We did hold them in some bondage. They did the same thing that King Saul did. We hold them in bondage, but we're taking a little tribute from them. So we still have the upper hand. We still have them in subjection because we are the ones who are over them and they are now paying taxes. That's what God tell you to do? No. God said, utterly what? Destroy them. And throw down their altars. But you still never did that. But you want to reason out now with God. When God confronts you now. Why have you done this? When God asks this question, the questions that God asks in the Bible, very enlightening. Why have you done this? God wants them now to look into themselves. Because remember, he told them all of what he has done for them. He said, why have you done it? After all of what I tell you. And I didn't tell it to you in any mystical or mysterious way. I told it to you in very plain language. So I expect you, because you know that I am the Lord your what? God. I expect you to follow the instruction that I have given to you. Am I correct, church? But they haven't done that. So why have you done this? And because God asked them that question, no, God is going to tell them, I'm going to make you suffer now. Because you have not done, so I'm not going now to take them out. I'm not going to give you any further victories over them. I'm not going to give any further victories over them. And I'm going to let them be a thorn in your flesh. Do you know that even today, because of people not listening to God's commandment, even today we're suffering from that, Brother Michelle? With the feud in the Middle East, am I correct? Even today, even this modern world today, politically we have tension in the Middle East, just because people never wait on God and obey God, we have that problem today. That thorn is still here in the Middle East today. Even today. Church, we need to follow God's instructions. We need to learn from His will. We don't need to change anything because we are not God. We can't change, we don't have the capacity to do anything like that. We can't change anything. We can't start a church. We are not God. We are not divine. We are sinful creatures. That just must. All we must do is call upon our God and say, I will listen to what you have to say. You have the solution, God. I'm just going to throw my life into your hands and be submissive to you. We can't compete with Him by having other churches that He has not established. That is not in it at all. Why should we have other churches? Are we saying to Him that, God, your word is not sufficient enough? Therefore, I'm going to have doubt on what you can do. Your church is not powerful enough to save mankind. Are we saying that to Him? Why do we need other churches? He has set up and established one church. One true church. Not denominations. I'm saying it plainly. God does not recognize denominations. It's just one true church. One true church. No denominations. So if you are here tonight and you are a member of a denomination, you need to talk to us. Because God did not establish denominations. He established one true church. Upon this rock, Matthew chapter 16. Return to it for me, Jonathan. Matthew chapter 16. And find the appropriate verses. Verse 16 onwards. Quickly, Jonathan, quickly. Quickly.
And I say also unto thee,
yes,
thou art Peter.
Thou art Peter.
And upon this rock,
yes,
I will build my church.
I will build my churches.
I will build my church.
No man. Variety is the spice of life. That's why we need tribute from the Canaanites, man. With variety is the spice of life. Everybody is different. We need to have different churches. One for the more calmer person. One who loves ceremonial and ritual with a sort of splendor and of holiness of it. One who likes the more jumping up type of thing. One who likes singing to be more solemn. One who wants modern singing. One who wants to roll around, you know, and have some dances. Different church to fit different style. That's how they reason out, you know. No, man. They reason out that way. But what did the passage say, Jonathan?
I will build my church.
I will build what? My church. And the gates of what? of hell shall not prevail against it. Against it. No. So there are some very interesting questions that God asks in the Bible. When I have the next opportunity, I'm going to deal with two of them found in the book of Genesis, Brother Michelle. Where are you? Don't miss that one. I don't know when I'm coming in again. Where are you? Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Very interesting. What is this that you have done? And I'm going to link that, what, Brother Michelle, to your lesson about faith of obedience. About the what of the faith. What is this that you have done? And where art thou? So when I get the next opportunity again, I'm going to do these two for you. That's a promise. Brother Bean, you can come. Thank you very much.